number 3 of this Friday morning edition of the Pat Boyle Show. Here on the Infinity Sports Network, I'm your host, Pat Boyle. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram, both at PatBoyle44. Quick programming note, let's take an updated look here at the Triple P. Who is Pat's primetime player? Get your votes in on my Twitter, at PatBoyle44. Who had the best performance in the world of sports last night? In the lead, on the ice, the Blues goaltender, Joel Hofer. 28 saves and a shutout as the Blues shut out the Sabres 3-0. Heck of a game from Joel Hofer. I was watching the highlights of this one. He had a number of tremendous saves, a couple of stick saves. Great work from Joel Hofer in the shutout win on the road. We got a tie for second right now. Both of these guys have 24%. Oh, by the way, Joel Hofer, 44% of the vote, so he's got a healthy lead. Tied in second, 24% of the vote, Jalen Green from the Suns in his Suns debut. He had 29 points and 2 steals. They beat the shorthanded Clippers. And then Nick Bonito, the best pass rusher from the Broncos. He's up to 9.5 sacks now on the season. That's tied for third in the NFL. He had another 1.5 sacks in this game last night to go with 5 tackles and 2 tackles for a loss as the Broncos defense picked up a gritty, ugly Thursday night football win over the Raiders. 10-7 the final score. And then in fourth place, 7% of the vote was the lone touchdown scorer from Denver, their wide receiver Troy Franklin, who had 40 receiving yards and that touchdown. So get your votes in as we will crown a champion in the final hour of the show like we normally do. And it's a Friday, so get your Boyle's Best Bites submissions in as well. Best food that you had to eat all week, send that to me at PatBoyle44. You can see mine. It's posted right now. The teriyaki chicken platter with fried rice and veggies, spicy tuna roll, and pork dumplings, which I had on Monday night to go with Monday night football. Okay. It's time. Week 10. NFL season. Our season-long picks competition with our good buddy Zach Gelb, host of the Zach Gelb Show, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific. Zach has made quite the headlines for himself this week. Give out some scoops on Penn State and their open coaching position right now after James Franklin got fired. Zach said he talked to a couple of sources and they told him, yeah, Urban Meyer had interest in our job. Well, I should say in the Penn State job, because I don't know who it was that Zach spoke to. But that Urban Meyer's answers when it came to what his plan was going to be for NIL was not satisfactory. And I heard the Triple Option podcast that Urban Meyer does, and he was very quick to refute that. And then Zach doubled down. So look, he's been busy making headlines, busy in the news this week, but he should get back to focusing on this picks competition because he once led me by 4 games, and that lead has dwindled to just 2. And the prize at the end of the season is a nice expensive dinner between the two of us. And so I'm 2 games back, 3 picks each against the spread. That's how we do it every week. Let's welcome in Zach Gelb and find out how many picks he is going to lose by this week. What's going on, Zach? What do you got this week, brother?
Patty Boyle, I've never seen someone celebrate like they're winning a competition while still losing like you do. Just a reminder, Pat, I'm up 2 games still. My lead is getting tight, but I'm still in the lead. So take your Walmart version Sean Mirage stick while talking about me and shove it. Here are my picks for this week. Last time the Dolphins and Bills played, it was a close one. This time I expect a big Buffalo beatdown, so give me the Bills minus 9.5 points. On a side note, Pat, you kind of remind me of Mike McDaniel, as you both wear big goofy glasses, and Pat, I could also see you rocking capris as well. To game number 2 we go. I know Patty Boyle has become a simp for Philadelphia these days because he loves pushing that Philadelphia tush. So I will stand hand in hand with Pat Boyle in probably the final year of the tush push and take the Eagles plus 1.5 points against the Green Bay Packers. And finally, I'm going back to the big spreads. So give me the Lions minus 8.5 points on the road up against the Commanders without Jaden Daniels. So this week I'll rock and roll with Buffalo minus 9.5, Philadelphia plus 1.5, and Detroit laying 8.5 points. And as always, enjoy the football, everybody.
Zach doing his best fake Southern impression, Southern accent there at the end. Look, I have worn capris at one point or another in my life. So, you know what, Zach, you think that that was a shot at me, but you're wrong. Okay? Sorry that I'm a fashionable guy and I know how to dress. Very interestingly enough, Zach and I are head-to-head right out of the chute once more, which tells me, because I've beaten him almost every time we've been head-to-head on a pick, that I'm going to be within one game, if not tied, after this weekend. Because for pick number one, the ultimate hold your nose, here comes the cold water spot. I like the Miami Dolphins, +9.5, at home against the Bills on Sunday. The first game they played was close. It was tied 21-21, and then Buffalo pushed ahead with a late touchdown and an insurance field goal to win it by 10. The Dolphins covered that spread. I think they cover it again. And look, at the expense of being dead wrong here, and we know how pathetic Miami has been. Look, there are some advantages here for the Dolphins. They've got the extended rest, right? They're not coming off the bye week, but they played last Thursday and got their tuchuses kicked in by the Ravens 28-6. So they've got a week and a half to prepare for a common foe, an old frenemy in the Buffalo Bills. And I know that Tyreek Hill is done for the year, but something tells me that Miami's going to be able to hang around a little bit here in this game. I do also think it's not college football, right, where letdown spots are real. But I do think there's an element of Buffalo beating Kansas City last week, and which was their win of the season for them, and then maybe taking Miami just a little bit lightly on the road on Sunday. Where, look, in this rivalry, in this head-to-head between Mike McDaniel and Sean McDermott, Buffalo has won almost every single time. But when the games are in Miami, that's when the Dolphins have played their best. And it's going to be hot as hell this weekend in Miami. It's supposed to be 86 degrees. And remember a couple years ago when Miami just kind of fatigued and gassed the Buffalo defense because they ran about 75 plays on offense in the hot Miami sun. That's going to be the weather we see again this Sunday. And I think that'll at least play into, it'll be an advantage for the Dolphins. It's not going to be a disadvantage. And so Buffalo still struggles to stop the run. I know they did a great job against the Chiefs on Sunday, but Devon Achane hopefully has a big game here and running the rock, and that takes some of the pressure off of Tua. And again, no Tyreek Hill. Jaylen Waddle did not get traded. We'll see if he can have a big game. But something just tells me that Buffalo is not just going to steamroll right over Miami like a lot of people, Zach included, thinks that they're going to. And I think it's likely that James Cook does play. He didn't practice on Wednesday, and then he was limited in practice on Thursday, so that he is trending in the right direction at least, as he's been battling what the team is calling an ankle injury. And he's coming off a monster performance against the Chiefs in which he ran for 114 yards. But I don't know, man. Call me a fool. I think the Dolphins can keep this within single digits. So for pick number one, I will indeed take the Miami Dolphins here, +9.5. Pick number two for me, I was reluctant to buy into the Ravens in Lamar Jackson's first game back, and then they steamrolled the Dolphins. I'm all in now on Baltimore. I think they are going to chase down the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the AFC North. And I'm just not that big of a believer in J.J. McCarthy. So give me the Ravens -3.5 in Minnesota this weekend to cover and win by more than a field goal. 3 in the hook. That's a precious half a point there if you want to back the Vikings. But I like the Ravens in this one. I think that J.J. McCarthy played well enough to get the win against the Lions. And even then, he still only completed 14 passes. All the issues about the Ravens in the beginning of the season was based around this defense, which couldn't stop a nosebleed. Well, if you've been paying attention, a lot of those guys were banged up. And their best pass rusher, Nnamdi Matabuike, is going to be done for the season. But other than that, most of the guys that were hurt early portion of the season for Baltimore, they're now healthy. Right? Kyle Hamilton's healthy. And the addition of Aloe Gilman, who they made in the trade for the Chargers, I think that's a very underrated trade because I've been digging in, doing some research. And Kyle Hamilton, in the last two games now, has been able to play more in the box, closer to the line of scrimmage, like the Swiss Army knife defender, the all-pro caliber defender that he was 2 years ago. And when he's at his best, He doesn't have to play in the defensive backfield and kind of patrol in some two deep cover two shells. When he's able to be a guy that can stop the run, that he can come off the edge and blitz and just wreck games, that's when he's at his best. That's what he's been doing the last 2 weeks, and I think it's been a big reason why the Ravens have only given up 22 points here in the last 2 weeks. Six against Miami, 16 in the double-digit win against the Chicago Bears. So Kyle Hamilton's healthy. Kyle Van Noy is healthy, although I think he's basically been demoted, or he might be demoted at this point because they also traded for Draymond Jones. And so, look, this Baltimore defense is as healthy as they've been since week two. They're getting better and better as the season goes on. I'm expecting them to shut down J.J. McCarthy, right? I think J.J. is limited in what he's able to do as a passer. He had some nice throws last week, putting the ball in an opportunity for Justin Jefferson to go and grab it. And Jay Jettas is still the best receiver in football for my money. I know the type of year that JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jigba's having for Seattle, but Justin Jefferson is a handful for any team, but I think it's the Minnesota Vikings defense. What do we know about Brian Flores, right? He loves to blitz. Blitzes more than just about every other defense. He's going to bring pressure. Who is better? Who is more adept at handling that pressure than Lamar Jackson? And I know that there's some concerns around Lamar's hamstring injury. This is his second game back. He didn't run much in the win against the Dolphins. He didn't have to, right? It's playoff or bust basically every season the rest of the way now for Baltimore. So if Lamar Jackson gets into a situation where Brian Flores is bringing cover zero, fire blitzes, weak side blitzes, and he's blitzing, you know, nickelbacks, and he's blitzing corners and safeties, like, there's nobody better in the NFL to handle that and escape through the safety hatch than Lamar Jackson. So I think it's going to be feast or famine for the Vikings defense when Brian Flores dials up pressure. And I think more often than not on Sunday, Lamar Jackson is going to beat that pressure, not only with his legs, but also his arm. And so I expect Lamar to play at an MVP caliber level on Sunday. This Ravens offense is fully healthy. They've got their full complement of weapons. And I think that they are going to beat the pressure that Brian Flores brings. And J.J. McCarthy, I'm expecting him to come back down a peg after his decent performance in the win against the Lions last Sunday. So give me the Ravens to go on the road to the House of Noise and win by margin here. They'll win this by more than a field goal. Give me the Ravens -3.5. And then unfortunately, well, I guess it'll be fortunately for Zach, but unfortunately for me, I won't be able to gain or lose ground one way or another because I'm also riding the Lions on the road here against the Commanders. Give me the Lions -8.5. Now, they've got to bounce back after the loss to Minnesota. And you know which team hasn't lost consecutive games in three full seasons? That would be Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. I mean, also, you know, again, just winning the game won't be enough to cover the spread. They've got to win by 9 points or more, which is hefty. But it feels like the Detroit Lions always play their best game coming off a loss, right? They lost to the Packers in week one by double digits. How did they respond? They annihilated the Bears 52-21. They lost to the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football a month ago. How did they respond? A dominant Monday night victory against the Buccaneers 24-9. How are they going to respond this time? I think they're going to go on the road to Washington against a injured, beat up, licking their wounds Commanders team with no Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota under center, Terry McLaurin still banged up. I mean, he's basically been on a milk carton all year long, and he didn't practice again on Thursday. He's on track to remain out again this week. Dan Quinn said he's not expecting McLaurin to play against the Lions with his quad injury. So no Scary Terry again, no Jaden Daniels. It's going to be Marcus Mariota. Debo Samuel has been struggling over the last couple of weeks as well. He was banged up, and he just hasn't looked near the Debo Samuel that we were used to seeing when he was in San Francisco. And so I just don't see how the Commanders put up a ton of points in this game. I really don't. The run game has struggled as well with the rookie Bill Crosby-Merritt, who I was over the moon for before the season began, and he has come back down to earth here the last couple of weeks. So I don't see how the Washington scores enough points to stay in this game. And then their defense has been super leaky here the last couple of weeks. They got destroyed by Sam Darnold last week and against the Seahawks. They gave up 38 points, and Seattle could have scored 50 if they wanted to. That game was over by the end of the first quarter. The week before that, Kansas City got off to a brutal start where Mahomes throws two picks. One went through Kelsey's hands. And the Chiefs still end up scoring 28 points in that game. They also could have scored more because it was a blowout by the start of the fourth quarter. And the game before that, they gave up 44 to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. This Commanders defense is going to struggle to stop Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Lions are going to pound the rock, and Jared Goff is probably going to have a classic Jared Goff game where he completes like 85% of his passes for 250 yards and three touchdowns. And Dan Campbell and the Lions are going to go into Washington, take care of business. And let's not forget, this is a revenge game for Detroit as well, because Jaden Daniels and the Commanders ended their season last year with that stunning victory in the divisional round. So there's revenge on the mind for Detroit. They're trying to bounce back off of a loss. There's nobody better in the NFL at doing that. And you got a wounded Washington team playing without their quarterback and without their number one receiver. And the defense flat out stinks right now. This is all pointing to a blowout win for the Lions, and I'm going to go ahead and take that. Give me the Lions minus 8.5. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So to recap, Zach is going Bills minus 9.5, Eagles plus 1.5, and the Lions minus 8.5. And I'm going head-to-head against Zach. I like the Dolphins plus 9.5. I'm taking Lamar Jackson and the Ravens minus 3.5 against the Vikings. And then me and Zach are simpatico with the Lions. I'm also taking Detroit minus 8.5. There we go. So we're on the same side with Detroit. I actually like his Eagles pick. I think they win the game on Monday night against Green Bay. I'm hopeful the Ravens take care of business. And then if the Dolphins are able to cover, I'll be one game back of Zach going into the second week in November. And I know he's going to be sweating then. He'll have little smack talk to dish out at that point. It is the Pat Boyle Show. When we come back, we'll go back and we'll revisit, now that we're halfway through the NFL season, we'll revisit some of my preseason predictions on division winners and over-under wins. And also, we'll preview some of the big games in college football this week. Can Iowa pull off the upset against Oregon? And also, maybe the biggest college football headline here of the last 24 hours. Would Lincoln Riley actually leave USC? I'll give you my thoughts on that and plenty more still to come. This is the Pat Boyle Show. All righty, welcome back to the show. Phone number to join, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You know, it's good to stay honest with yourself, and it's good for you guys to keep me honest. And sometimes, you know, everybody loves to make predictions before the season starts, and then a lot of those times, those go by the wayside, right? Nobody remembers what a lot of people picked for their Super Bowl matchup, who they picked to win the division. I want to revisit that with you guys. And I've said multiple times throughout the year, I'm sticking by all my predictions for most of the season until proven otherwise. Like, again, my biggest laughable prediction was that the Jets were going to make the playoffs. Hands up, dead wrong on that. Totally dead wrong. But there's been a lot of predictions I made that are looking good so far. And so I figured we're halfway through the season, right? 9 weeks down, 9 weeks to go. We just had the first game of week 10, Broncos beating the Raiders 10-7. So I figured we're at the halfway point. Why not revisit some of my preseason predictions here in total in terms of over-under win predictions and who would win the division? And why don't we start with the AFC West? I said the Broncos would win the division. That looks good so far. Broncos win total was 9.5. I said I'm going over that. They're 8-2. That looks good. Chiefs was 11.5. I said I'm taking the Chiefs under 11.5. And right now they're 5-4. 9 games left to play. I'd say that looks pretty good. For the Chiefs to stay under, they would have to go at best 6-3 the rest of the year. Doable. Chargers win total was 9.5. I said I'm going under. They're 6-3. And so that they're in good shape to go over, but also at the same time, Their offensive line crippled with injuries right now. Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater done for the year. And then I said under 6.5, easy for the Las Vegas Raiders. And they are 2-7 right now, so that looks like it is in good shape. Let's go to the NFC West. I picked the 49ers to win the division. That is still very much possible, despite all the injuries they faced. And I said, give me the 49ers over 10.5. They're 6-3. And so they need to go 5-4 the rest of the year. Very, very doable. Looks like I was dead wrong on the Rams. I said under 9.5. I thought they would miss the playoffs. I thought Stafford would not make it through this year healthy. They're 6-2. And so they only have to go 4-10 the rest of the way. No, that's not right. No, 6-2. They have 10 games left. They only have to go 4-6 in order to hit the over there. So, all right, it's been a great season for the Rams. Cardinals, I said they're going to go under 8.5. They're 3-5 right now. Kyler Murray looks like he'll never play another snap in a Cardinals uniform again. That one's in good shape. And then I said the Seahawks over 8.5. I picked them to be the last wild card team in the NFC this year. That looks great. They're 6-2 right now, so they only need 3 more wins in their final 10 games. They can go 3-7, and they'll still go over 8.5 wins. Or three. They're 6-2, 8 games. There's 10 to go. Why am I so bad at math right now? There's 17 games. 17 games. So they're 6-2. All they have to do is go 3-5 the rest of the year, and they'll go over. Okay, when it comes to the AFC South. 1 second, let me get there. When it comes to the AFC South, and my computer is being terrible right now. All right, when it comes to the AFC South, I did say I thought the Texans would back into another division crown. That's looking unlikely right now. And I said I picked the Texans to go over 9.5. They're 3-5. Season's on the line. So the Texans would have to go 7-2 the rest of the way to get there. That's unlikely. I said, give me the Colts under 7.5. All they have to do is win one more game, and that's going to be wrong. I said, give me the Jaguars under 7.5. They're 5-3. They only have to go 2-7 the rest of the way, or 3-6 the rest of the way to go over. And then I picked the Titans to go over 6.5. They only have one win. So it looks like I'm going to go 0-4 on the AFC South. And that tracks, because the AFC South is a terrible division most years. NFC South. I picked the Panthers to win the division. I said they'd be the surprise team. I picked the Panthers to go over 6.5 wins. They are 5-4 right now. They only need 2 wins the rest of the year to get there. That looks good. I said, give me the Falcons over 7.5 wins. They're 3-5. They've got 9 games left. They've got to go 5-4 the rest of the way. Possible. Very possible. I said, give me the Buccaneers under 9.5. They are 6-2, but they're dealing with a litany of injuries, so still possible, but the Buccaneers only need to go 4-5 the rest of the year to go over their win total. And then I picked the Saints to go under 4.5, and that looks like it is in good shape. The Saints are 1-8. So on track to go at least, or at worst, 2-2 with the NFC South predictions. All right, let's move on. Let's get to the AFC East. I thought the Bills would win the division again. Right now, they're a half game back of the Patriots, but I picked the Bills to go over 11.5 wins, and they are, the Bills are 6-2 right now, so still possible. I would say it's in good shape. The Bills are 6-2. They'd have to go 6-3 the rest of the way to finish 12-5. Very possible, indeed. I picked the Patriots to go under 8.5. They're 7-2. That one looks like it's going to be wrong. I picked the Dolphins to go under 7.5. That one looks good. The Miami Dolphins right now are 2-7. So they'd have to go 6-3 the rest of the way. That looks next to impossible. So that one's in good shape. And then I picked the Jets to go over 5.5. And I thought they would be a wild card team. They would be the surprise team in the AFC. That looks dead wrong. The Jets have one win. So, in shape, to go 2-2 on the AFC East predictions. NFC East, I said the Eagles will win the division again, and they are very much in shape to do so. I picked them to go over 11.5. They are 6-2, so the Eagles have to go 6-3 the rest of the way. That is very possible. I said the Commanders would miss the playoffs and go under 9.5 wins. That's in great shape. I picked the Cowboys to go under 8.5 wins. They're 3-5-1. So if the Cowboys are going to get to 9 wins, they've got to go, what, 6-3 the rest of the way to finish 9-8-1 or 9-7-1? 3-5-1. There's 8 games left. They'd have to go 6-2. So that's in great shape. And then I picked the Giants to go over 5.5 wins. They are 2-7, and so the Giants have to go 4-5 the rest of the way. And I say it's unlikely, but it's possible, because the Giants play the Bears this weekend. Chicago's favored, but you never know. The Giants also still play the Commanders, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. So I'd say there's a chance for at least 3 more wins. That would get them to 5 wins. Then they'd probably have to pull an upset against one of the following: Green Bay, Detroit, New England, and Minnesota. But the Eagles are in good shape. The Commanders are almost certainly going under, and the Cowboys look like they're going under as well. And then finally, in the AFC, NFC North. Let's see, where is that puppy? I had it all pulled up here before, and technology is failing. Here we go. AFC North, I picked the Ravens to win the division, but I thought they'd go under. And I still think the Ravens win the division, despite the 1-5 start. They're now 3-5. I think they catch the Steelers. So I could be right on both of those fronts. The Ravens' win total was 11.5. They're 3-5. They have to go 8-1 the rest of the way. So that's in great shape. I did pick the Bengals to go over 9.5, and that one looks like it is going to be wrong. Cincinnati is 3-6 right now. So they have 8 games left. They'd have to go 7-1. Highly unlikely. I did pick the Steelers to go over 8.5 wins. They're 5-3. So they only have to go 4-5 the rest of the way to do the Mike Tomlin special and finish one game above 500. And they're in good shape to do that. And then I picked the Browns to go under 4.5 wins before the season started. And the Browns are 2-6. So that one is still up in the air. But the way that Cleveland's offense looks, I don't know if they're going to get 3 more wins this year. So pretty good shape on most of those except for Cincinnati. And then finally, the NFC North. I picked the Packers to win the division. And this NFC North, who the hell knows what's going to happen the rest of the way. So all of these are probably 50-50. But I did pick the Packers to go over 9.5 wins. And right now, Green Bay is 5-2-1. So they've played 8 games. They've got 9 left to go. And so they'll have to go 5-4 the rest of the way to go over 9.5. Very possible. Very, very possible indeed. I did pick the Lions to go over 10.5 wins. And that one is also very possible. Detroit right now is 5-3. So 9 games left, they would have to go 5-4, or excuse me, they'll have to go 6-3 to finish 11-6 on the season. And again, very possible. I picked the Vikings under 9.5 wins. I thought they would miss the playoffs. They are 4-4, 9 games to go. And so even if the Dolphins go 5-4 the rest of the way, they would finish 9-8 and they would go under. And I think that's honestly probably where they finish. I think the Vikings finish either 9-8 or 8-9. So again, still up in the air on that one. And then I picked the Bears to go under 8.5 wins. They are 5-3, and they've got 9 games left. So all the Bears have to do is go 4-5, and they would go over. But they've got a very tough schedule remaining. After the Giants this week, they play the Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers. 4 consecutive weeks. They do play the Browns, but then after that, they finish with the Packers, Niners, and the Lions. So things could really tailspin on the Bears unless Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson continue to ascend. So there you go. Some dead wrong, a lot that are spot on, and a lot that are 50-50 as we still got half the season left to go. All right, really quickly, some college football here. We've got a couple of big games coming up this weekend. Oregon versus Iowa. In Iowa this week, this is a massive test for Kirk Ferentz's team here, who it still feels like They've got a really great defense that keeps them in every ball game, and yet their offense just doesn't do enough when it matters most. The Oregon Ducks, number 9 in the college football playoff rankings. A lot of people thought the Ducks got slighted. I don't think so, because they really don't have many impressive wins on their schedule. I think the win over Penn State a couple of weeks ago has kind of been softened now by how much Penn State has fallen off. And then they lost at home to number 7 Indiana, who's now number 2 in the country, and Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers, they certainly look like the real deal, but that's the only ranked win that Oregon has so far this year, was against Penn State, who was ranked number 3 at the time. They're 6.5-point favorites. A lot of people think Iowa can pull this upset. I say fat chance. I don't think Iowa has the offense to hang with the Ducks. And I know what a lot of people, I've got some friends, lo and behold, that are Iowa fans, and they're saying, whoa, 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 hold on here, Pat. Iowa has scored 37 points or more in 3 out of their last 5 games. Okay, yeah, well, what about the 2 biggest games so far of Iowa's season? The 2 ranked teams they've played. Iowa State, who was number 16 at the time, they scored 13 points. Indiana, a month and a half ago, they scored 15 points. So in the 2 ranked teams they've played this year, they've put up a combined 28 points. I think it's going to be more of the same from the Hawkeyes offense. I think they're going to struggle to move the football against Oregon. I think they're going to struggle to slow down Dante Moore. And I think the Ducks end up winning this one by at least a touchdown. So I think Oregon will get a big victory here on the road. And I think we're going to be once again left asking ourselves, man, if only Iowa had a great offense, look where they could be. And then the other big headline in college football this week is something that Josh Pate, who has really made a name for himself here the last 2 years, I really love how passionate he is about college football. I'm a fan of his. And he did his show the other day and left it with, just look out. Just keep an eye on Lincoln Riley at USC. And now you got headlines galore. Oh, is Lincoln Riley going to leave USC? Where could Lincoln Riley take the LSU job? Would Lincoln Riley go to Florida? Again, I'm a big fan of Josh Pate. And so I'm sure that whoever he talked to maybe gave him some information on things they've been hearing. I think Lincoln Riley would be a fool to leave USC. I don't see him leaving there anytime soon. Because think about this. Think about this for Lincoln Riley. Who is competing in that region against him for great talent and recruits? And what better sell is there than playing college football, making hundreds of thousands of dollars as a college football player, and for some of these guys, a couple million dollars a year, and being able to live in Pasadena and play in gorgeous 80-degree weather, when you're home, all year long, and be a mini celebrity in LA at the age of 19, 20, 21. He is in a gold mine pocket in the Los Angeles, Southern California region. Who is competing for resources in that area? UCLA? Stanford? No chance. USC, despite the struggles they've had now over the last 2 seasons with Lincoln Riley, and maybe what some people think, you know, they've poked some holes in Jordan Maiava's game here, or the quarterback over the last couple of weeks, Lincoln Riley is still a master quarterback developer. I mean, just look at the last 6 years here of what he has done. Oh, 8 years. I feel like I can't believe we're still at 2025 at times. In the last 8 years, Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner, first overall pick in the 2024 draft. Spencer Rattler, who was the starter before that for Caleb Williams, NFL quarterback. Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma, Heisman finalist in 2019 after he transferred from Bama. Kyler Murray won the Heisman in 2018. Baker Mayfield won the Heisman in 2017 with Oklahoma. And so what? Because Jordan Maiava is not going to win the Heisman, now we think that Lincoln Riley still can't develop quarterbacks, or that he's not in such a cushiony job right now at USC? He's going to leave that for the ultra-competitive, cutthroat SEC, where look what happened to Brian Kelly, fair, deserved or not that he got fired. Lincoln Riley's going to go take the job at LSU, and if he doesn't get to the college football playoff by year two, he's going to get fired. Florida, which is a hotbed for recruiting, again, a great place to go play college football, all the resources in the world. But why would he leave his cushiony job at USC right now? He ain't going to Penn State, and he ain't going to take the other lesser openings. He ain't going to go to Arkansas. He ain't going to go to Auburn. Why would he leave USC? And USC ain't going to fire him. Because the Trojans are so, that athletic department is so desperate right now to just be in the conversation, to just have a coach that they know can develop quarterbacks and can keep them in the mix, even though they have struggled to get back to the top of college football since joining the Big Ten. Lincoln Riley ain't leaving USC. He'd be a fool to do so. And USC would be even dumber to fire him. 888-710-4ISN, the phone number to join the show. 888-710-4476. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls here on the Pat Boyle Show. And we'll have to get serious. And we'll have to talk about mental health. Because it was an absolute tragedy what happened to Marshawn Nealand of the Dallas Cowboys taking his own life on Wednesday night. We got to have a conversation. We have to. And I'm going to give you my raw and honest thoughts on where we stand as a country and as a sport fan community when it comes to mental health in this country and on this planet. 888-710-4476, the phone number to join the show. This is the Pat Boyle Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Update time. Here's Marco Belletti. All right, welcome back to the show. eBay is home to millions of finds, and each one becomes part of your story. From your favorite vintage band tee to the dream car you've been searching for, it's all there. eBay, things people love. That's our NBA sponsor, and we got the NBA Cup group play tonight. 11 games. So it's a nice Friday night to spend before we dive into another massive weekend of college football in the NFL. Get back to your phone calls here in just a minute at 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. But really quickly, we got to get serious here. Marshawn Nealand, 24-year-old from the Cowboys, took his own life late Wednesday night. And this is a guy that, again, is 24 years old, seemingly at the peak of human existence. He's playing in the NFL. He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, on his rookie contract. And yet it's another stark, painful reminder that sometimes you can have everything going for you, and it's still not enough. Some of the details that have come out from the police report is that he was being pulled over for a traffic violation, then evaded the cops, sped away. They could not stay in pursuit of him. They then found his car crashed, and they found him at about 1:30 in the morning with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And he was pronounced dead. And some of the details that have been coming out as well, his girlfriend who was talking to the police and said, you have to find him because he has said, I'm going to end it all. He reportedly texted his family goodbye. He scored his first career touchdown off that block punt on Monday night. And look, it's just another reminder of how far we still have to come as a community, as a human race, when it comes to mental health and all the stigmas that still persist around it. I just want to remind you guys, you're never being overbearing on your friends or your family, your loved ones, if you're checking in on them and just asking, hey, is everything okay? Hey, I'm here if you ever need to talk. Something as simple as that could end up changing somebody's life, could end up saving somebody's life. Calling the suicide hotline, seeking therapy if you feel like you need it. Life grinds us down all the time. Whether it's stress from work, stress from relationships, stress from life. Life is not easy a lot of the time. And then to feel like you're on your own, like you're on an island, has got to be the most painful, terrifying thing I can imagine. And so it's a tragedy that we lost a young man at 24 years old because he felt like he had nobody else he could talk to and felt like he had to end his own life. My thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his loved ones, his family, the Cowboys, the NFL community. And I hope the NFL takes this as a reminder that we need to continue to do more around mental health in this country and on this planet. Let's get to Ryan in Ontario, who wanted to talk about this. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks, Pat, for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it.
This really hits home because I put a football outside my gate for this gentleman. Hey? Like you said, mental health. I lost one of my buddies to suicide. He never had anyone to talk to. So I'm glad that you're taking this on your show. It's amazing. And I agree for the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate you weighing in. And look, I've got a couple of my friends from college that have, two of them have attempted suicide. Luckily, they're still here with us. And so, again, we need to be doing more on this planet for mental health. And just please check in on your loved ones, check in on your friends and your family if you think they're struggling. It's the Pat Boyle Show.